Our lesson today is taken out of the Gospel of Matthew, the first and the second chapter, concerning the wise man and the birth of Christ. We find that Matthew commences with speaking, "Now the birth of Christ was on this wise, when Mary his mother, espoused to Joseph, she was found with child." This text in brief explains to us that Christ was to come forth into this world in and through the Virgin Mary. Mary, she was a daughter of Joachim and also of Anna. The names of her parents are not to be found in Scripture, unless we take the word Heli, found in Luke 2, the 13th verse, as pertaining to Joachim. This Mary, she was of the royal seed of David. She was related to Aaron, and she was also a cousin to Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. It says she was espoused to Joseph, her husband. Espoused means, in our language, being engaged. This engagement was very solemn among the Jewish people. This engagement took place a year before the marriage was solemnized. It was so solemn that it was considered as good as having the knot tied. Joseph, he likewise was of the royal seed of David. He lived in Nazareth. He was the son of Jacob, and Nathan was his grandfather. He was, as the Scripture teaches us, a carpenter by trade. He dwelt in the city of Nazareth. Now this Mary, she was pregnant. Joseph, he was engaged to be married to her, and when he seen that she was in this state and condition, he knew not how that she had become this way. We read in Luke that an angel had appeared unto Mary and had spoken unto her and said unto her that she would conceive and bear a son and that she should call his name Jesus. This vision, this revelation that she had from heaven, she never told Joseph. He knew nothing thereof. She concealed it. And he, seeing her in this state and in this condition, he had all his hopes centered upon her. It says that Joseph was a just man. He was then awaiting the coming of Messiah. Likewise, Mary, she was an individual that had the grace of God in her soul. And for this reason, Joseph had taken her to be his wife. And now when he's seen her in this state and condition, he did not wish to make a public example of her, which he by the law could have done. For the law of Moses taught them that an adulterer or an adulteress should be stoned to death. They took these adulterer and adulteress before the council, and if they were condemned by the council, then all those that were there in the council took these two outside of the city and stoned them to death. But he loved her, and he couldn't understand how that she had come into this condition. And therefore, he intended privately to put her away without making a scandal about it. And now while he was in this state, so troubled, so concerned, you may be sure of that. I'm sure if any one of you were engaged to some individual and you found her to be in that state, how troubled you would be. He likewise was a human being, and he was troubled and concerned, and he knew not what to do. But in all our troubles, God is very near unto us. And he was near unto Joseph. And Joseph, he likewise was given a revelation. For we read that an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream and said unto him, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take Mary, thy espoused wife, to thee, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. What a wonderful revelation this must have been to Joseph. Dreams, they are those fancy imaginations that come into our minds while we sleep. The Israelites, they were prohibited to take notice of dreams. The people in the East, they took particular notice of dreams. They had men that interpreted dreams. But the Israelites were forbidden to go to these interpreters. They were to seek counsel by God and by the prophets that he had sent. And now we read in Scripture that God has revealed his mind and his will many times by dreams. They were divine dreams. Jacob had a wonderful dream when he was fleeing from his home because of Esau. Joseph likewise, he had many prophetical dreams. The butler and the baker had dreams which Joseph interpreted. In various places we read of different ones that had dreams. Here Joseph received a dream from God. And we take particular notice in this dream that his name was known in heaven. Joseph, he is called, thou son of David. What a blessing if our names are known in heaven. Fear not, the angel said unto him, to take unto thee Mary, thy espoused wife. I believe where this man must have been troubled and so concerned what to do with Mary, that this took all his fears and all his troubles away. I don't know of any individual here has ever been in trouble, has ever been in soul trouble, has feared that the work that God has begun is not his work. Oh, the devil comes so many times and proves to us in so many ways, and we consent and believe him more than we do God, that the work isn't genuine, that it isn't God's work. And when it pleases God to come to us with, fear not. Oh, what a wonderful word that is. You know, the children of God are children that fear. There are so many Christians today, they don't have any fear. They believe and they think they're on the way to heaven. Fear, doubt, they know nothing of. But God has scattered so many fear nots in his precious word. for those fearing creatures. Joseph, I believe, all his fears disappeared. All his troubles departed from him, for he believed the message that the angel brought to him. He received faith. And what a wonderful thing it is to receive faith, to believe what God is speaking unto us. And we find that Joseph was given to know the reason why that Mary was in this state and in this condition. It was from the Holy Ghost. You see in this, my hearers, that Mary had a revelation, but likewise Joseph had a revelation concerning this child. May I ask you, have you ever had a revelation concerning this child Jesus? It's necessary for each and every one of us to have a revelation from heaven concerning this precious Christ. These revelations that Mary and Joseph had, they were not contrary to each other. They did not jar. They were the truth that God revealed unto them. And after this, we find that Joseph took Mary to himself. Mary, she had had also a wonderful revelation from heaven that she was the virgin chosen by God for this particular reason, and that the Holy Ghost would come upon her, and that which would be born of her would be called the Son of God. This conception, my hearers, is a mystery. As the Holy Ghost hovered over the earth, before this earth was created, it was nothing else but chaos. And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, so the Spirit of God came down and hovered over the virgin and over her womb. He sanctified this womb. God himself took possession of it. God himself instilled life into this womb. He formed the body of his dear son Jesus therein. It was sanctified and kept by God himself, so that this conception was without sin. An unnatural conception, but it was a conception from God himself. Therefore, this precious Jesus came into this world without sin. He became incarnate. He took upon himself a human nature, but he still remained God himself in person. And now you may be sure that when Joseph took Mary, his wife, to him, they must have had a wonderful communion with each other. Don't you think they did? Don't you think she related to him just what the angel had said to her and why that she was this way? And don't you think Joseph told her the dream that he had? Oh, what union and communion they felt with each other. They were united by the Spirit of God in love and in affection, and they were united to God himself by his Holy Spirit. This union, this communion, is still to be found in the Church of Christ today, where God begins a work of grace in a sinner's soul, That experience is recorded in God's precious word. Their experience corresponds with the word. And wherever a soul is born again and receives the revelation of Jesus Christ to his soul as the way of salvation, no matter where they meet, no matter what language they speak, no matter what country they come from, they are of one spirit. And when they meet with each other and they may commune with each other and speak together of the hope that is in them, there is blessed union. There is blessed communion. And that is what Mary and Joseph experienced after Joseph took Mary to himself. And the angel had spoken unto Joseph and had said unto him that she would bear a son, and that they should call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All the name of Jesus Christ was given already unto Joseph and Mary before he was ever born. Now this name means Savior. It means Jehovah, the Savior. It means the salvation of God. Oh, this name is such a wonderful name, my hearers. Has it ever become so to you? It says in the Song of Solomon, his name is as an ointment poured forth. Therefore, do the virgins love thee. My hearers, Joseph was given to know that he was to name this child Jesus, and that he was coming into the world for the express purpose to save his people from their sins. Wonderful text, my hearers. When I was meditating upon this text, it became all life for my immortal soul. He shall save his people from their sins. All the love, the condescension of this precious Jesus, and the certainty of these people that they shall be saved, struck me so. No ifs, no buts, no doubts about it. These people, they most certainly shall be saved. Or do you love God's shalls? Are you inquisitive to know who these people are? So many teach today that Jesus came to save the whole world. This text eliminates the world immediately. He came to save his people from their sins. These people, my hearers, are God's people. God in his infinite love predestinated the people in Christ Jesus unto eternal life before the world ever was created. God had a plan of salvation for his chosen people. They are called God's people. They are called his treasure, his people near and dear unto him. They are called his chosen, his elect. They are then called God's children. These people most certainly shall be saved. That's what the text says. He shall save his people from their sins. They are also called his people. God the Father gave unto Jesus Christ in eternity these people. He says himself, thine they were, and thou gavest them unto me. And of them that thou hast given unto me, I have lost none. No, he did not lose one, my hearers. Wouldn't you be inquisitive to know whether you are one of these people or not? these people are lying dead in trespasses and sins with the rest of mankind. They are scattered throughout this universe. No one knows who they are. That is a hidden secret with God himself until the time comes. Oh, a wonderful time. A time when he shall manifest that they are his people. But when he comes to them with his spirit and brings life into their immortal souls, and with life he brings light to see and to feel what they are and what they have become in and through sin. Have you ever had such a disclosure, such a revelation to your immortal souls? If not, my hearers, do not dream that you are one of his people. If the Spirit of God has never convicted you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, I can truthfully say you need no Savior. What do you want to be saved from? Every one of you. You want to be saved from hell, don't you? Hell is an awful place. And you know if you die, and then the decision shall be made whether you shall go to hell or to heaven. Ask all mankind what they want to be saved from. That's what they want to be saved from. Have I any in my midst who want to be saved from their sins? Has sin become a burden to you? Or is it your trouble? Are you grieved because you cannot do anything else but sin against such a good God? Have you tried to overcome sin? Have you striven against it and fought against it and found out that you were fighting a losing battle? It's a hard thing to learn, but God teaches this. Oh, he teaches us that we are lost sinners. And when God begins to teach sinners these things, he also reveals unto them a way of escape for such poor sinners in Christ Jesus. Oh, then they see that there is a Savior, a mighty one, that is able to save and willing to save them. But then this text, oh, when they read it at times, it humbles them, it melts them. Have you ever been humbled? Have you ever been melted at this text? Have you ever stopped at it and said, Lord Jesus, oh, save me, a poor sinner? I wish every one of you were crying in this manner to be saved. Oh, what a blessed congregation we would have. And all of you are one that has been wrought upon, and if you are being led in this manner, you will experience when you are cut off, when you are lost. That's a hard thing. That's something we all fight against, but that is the teaching of the Spirit of God. When you are brought to the end of everything, all hope and expectation gone, no hope of being saved, then this wonderful Savior reveals himself as the Savior of the lost. Oh, then he comes in his power and in his majesty, and he makes himself known in the souls of his people. He gives them to believe that he came into the world for them. He gives them to believe that he suffered, that he died, that he arose again, that he sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for them, that their sins are forgiven for his name's sake, and they find peace and rest in their immortal souls, and they can rejoice in this Savior as being their Savior, because He has saved them personally, individually. Oh, wonderful experience, whoever may experience it in this life. To have a Savior for your immortal soul is so necessary. Oh, may you breathe out unto him, "Save me, Lord, and then I shall be saved. Heal me, and I shall be healed." And we find that Joseph and Mary were together and were expecting that this child would be born. And in due time, my hearers, he was born. We read that he was born in the city of Bethlehem. And Matthew, he gives us no account of the birth of Christ as Luke does. He just mentions that Jesus was born in Bethlehem when Herod was king. Bethlehem is a little town 6 miles southeast of Jerusalem. It sets upon a hill. It's a beautiful little town. In this town, David was born, and therefore it is called the City of David. And likewise, the narrative of Ruth is laid in this city. But most important of all, the Savior of mankind came down and was born in this town, Bethlehem. It is called the House of Bread. There the bread of life appeared in the world. Christ Jesus, who has said himself, "I am the bread of life. He that eateth me shall live forever." He, the bread of life, appeared on the horizon in the little town of Bethlehem. Has he become the bread of life to you, my hearers? You know, when a little child is born, we find that it either takes the breast or it receives a bottle. Milk is its food. So likewise, spiritually, my hearers, when God creates us anew and gives us a new life, then we likewise are very desirous after the sincere milk of the Word. Christ Jesus is called the bread of life. Before then a soul has any knowledge or any hunger and thirst after Jesus Christ, it must be wrought upon by the Spirit of God. There are many enjoyments in hearing the Word, in receiving it, and believing it for our own heart and soul. This sincere milk of the Word is so precious to every living soul, especially when the Spirit accompanies it, and especially when it is firstborn. Oh, that firstborn. Just newborn. Oh, how desirous such a person is after the Word of God. Have you ever had it? You know, when we are without this spiritual life, the Bible has so little value for us. We read it, but how? And we come to church, but how? But when born again, there is instilled in our soul a hunger and a thirst after the words of the living God. And oh, what a blessing it is when we come up to the house of God and we may hear his words set forth in all its purity. And we may hear our name spoken out in the experiences of the way that God leads his people. But when the Spirit witnesses in our soul, that is the case with us. But you know, as with a little child, my hearers, there comes a time when the mother has to wean the child. It has to take the child off the bottle, off the breast. And you know, that's a terrible time for the child. For that child will squirm, cry, and it's not accustomed to the stronger food that the mother wants to give to it. And now, my hearers, there comes a time spiritually when God begins to wean his children. And that weaning time isn't such a pleasant time. Oh, when God takes away all these frames and all these feelings and all these enjoyments that you have been having under the word and all the feelings that you have had in prayer and in supplication, and he begins to wean you, he begins to break down what he built up, and he begins to take away what he has given. Oh, my hearers, meet such a soul, meet such a person. Oh, they fear that everything is gone. They fear that they never had any spiritual life. All their enjoyments are taken away. Why is this? For the express purpose that Jesus Christ shall become the bread of life unto them. Oh, how necessary does he become for such a soul who is being weaned, who can't find any life in those things where he formerly found them in. But now his eye is directed by faith to Jesus Christ. Oh, how precious does this Savior become for such a soul. Oh, how hungry and thirsty do they become after this precious Christ. Have I such a soul amongst my hearers? Have you been brought through such a weaning time, or are you still in it? Oh, then surely you are waiting and hoping and expecting that this precious Jesus will come and save you, because if he does not, you feel that you are going to perish. Perish in hunger. Or he will come. Has he spoken it, and shall he not fulfill it? He is true to his word. He keeps his word unto 1,000 generations. God the Father promised this Savior unto Adam and Eve. He fulfilled this promise here, which we are commemorating this afternoon. He is a God that looketh to his word, to the scriptures that he has given, and he most certainly does fulfill them. And we find, my hearers, that this king that lived at that time was called Herod. Herod the Great, a son of Antipater, a wicked and an ungodly king as ever I have read of. Such a terrible character this man was. He married a woman called Mirami. A beautiful woman. He loved her very much. And after being married to her, he put her to death. For some reason or other. The commentary doesn't give me that. But after he had put her to death, it seemed that he went out of his mind. He was found crying at night. Crying out for her, thinking that she was still alive. Now this man, he put to death 3 of his own children, 3 sons, for fear that they would become king in his place. Augustus, who was the Kaiser at that time, he said, it's better to be a hog of Herod than one of his sons. For this man, Herod, he was a tyrant. At one time he showed humanity. He sold all his silver plate because there was a great pestilence in the city of Jerusalem. And he sold his silver so that he would help the people out to have something to eat. But then again, he built a theater in the city of Jerusalem and an amphitheater where bullfights and various sports of that kind were held. And he built them in honor of Augustus, the Kaiser. Now this Kaiser, he was so filled with joy because this king done that, that he gave him three more provinces to govern over. And now this king, Herod, he became sick. And many of the people were glad that he became sick for the simple reason they wished that he would die. And word spread through the city that he had died. And so many of the young people who heard that he was dead, they got together and they ripped down a big golden eagle that he had set over the portal where you entered the temple. He should have never done this king, because it was contrary to the Jews' religion to have such an object upon the top of the portal of the temple. And now when Herod, who was still alive, heard what these young people had done, the commentary says, by the order of Herod, these young people were taken, and 40 of their disciples were burned alive. How terrible was this king in many of his acts. He became sick, this king. God struck him. He got a terrible fever. A fever that entered into his bowels. His legs swelled up. And soon this king was being eaten up inwardly. His bowels were consumed by the fever. The worms crept out of him. He received also a terrible itch all over his body. He was in pain and in agony terrifically. And in this manner he died. This very king, he sought the life of Jesus Christ. Joseph and Mary had to flee because of this king. For we read, while he was king, there came unto Jerusalem wise men from the east. These wise men, they are called by some princes. Some call them doctors. Some call them astrologers. They came from the country of Persia. In that country, they studied astrology and astronomy. They looked at the stars and foretold future events. From this country came Balaam. You remember the story about Balaam? He was the man that was hired by Balak to curse Israel. And this man, Balaam, in one of his prophecies, he said, a star shall arise in Jacob. And these people in the east, they had this prophecy of Balaam. They were looking forward for this star to come. Daniel, likewise, he was carried down into Babylon. And there, likewise, Nebuchadnezzar had heard about the prophecy of Balaam. And Daniel had told him what the meaning and the interpretation thereof was. These Easterners were looking forward for the coming of this star in Jacob. He was to be the king of the Jews. He was to come and rule the Jewish people. Generation after generation passed by, and these people in the East were still looking for this star. And we find that these wise men, they had seen a star in the sky. The commentary says it was a meter, and it moved. And these men, they watched this star, and they took out of that this king who Balaam had prophesied would come forth, that he was born. This is the literal interpretation of these men. For myself, my hearers, I believe that these men, they were wrought upon by the Spirit of God. They were given an insight, and they were given to see by the Spirit that this star was such a peculiar star, that it was something from heaven, and they were given to know that this Savior, Jesus Christ, was born unto the Jews. They consented together to leave their country way in Persia. They made a far journey to the land of Israel. They came then seeking this newborn king. You know, I would like to go on, my hearers. 3:05 already. I'm supposed to stop at 3:00. In fact, 3:05. These wise men then were seeking Jesus Christ. They were seeking the fountain of wisdom. They are called wise men, and they were wise. Oh, yes. For any person that seeks after Jesus Christ, we may say they are wise men. For they are seeking the true wisdom, the fountain of wisdom, Christ Jesus. And they came to Jerusalem. They were led by this star. They came to the wrong town, to the wrong city. They came inquiring after this king who had been born. But the people in Jerusalem knew nothing about it. They all wondered and marveled, and they questioned what this was that these wise men were talking about. They had heard nothing like it. They began to be troubled about what these wise men were speaking about, and the message came to Herod concerning them. Herod, my hearers, he was troubled likewise, because he had known that the Jews expected the Messiah, and he knew that if this Messiah came, he would be king no longer, for the Jews had said that when he would appear, he would take the Romans and destroy them, and he would rule the Jewish people. And therefore Herod, he was troubled likewise with the saying of these wise men. This man Herod, he feared then that he would lose his kingship. I would like to go on, my hearers, but I cannot. There are so many spiritual meanings attached to these various incidents concerning the birth of Christ that I think it would take me about 2 hours to explain. I hope the little that I have given to you this afternoon may have made an impression upon your hearts, and that it may be blessed to your souls, especially that one text, "He shall save his people from their sins." Never rest, my hearers, until you may know that you are one of his people. All seek that you may find, and may you be given to make sure that you are an elect sinner chosen by God unto eternal salvation. And that's all for today.